Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. And I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got David Gage back with us. David is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a clinical psychologist. He's also adjunct professor at American University's Kogod School of Business. I know a little bit about those folks. We got some other friends over there. He also helps companies like yours and mine when we need to talk about making transitions and dealing with partnership issues, people who work side by side with us in the harness of our small businesses. And he's the author of The Partnership Charter. David Gage, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. David, as you and I have spoken over the years, I'm sure I've said this before, but it bears repeating. I've been around a lot of small businesses. Before I started doing my radio show, building my media company, I was a consultant to small business owners, not unlike what you're doing. And the most anguishing things that I ever saw, the most difficult things I ever saw, the most seemingly intractable things that I ever saw in a small business was the issue of transition from one set of owners to another set of owners.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think?
I think that's right, Jim. It represents such a huge shift for people personally. It's a shift in the business, but it also, you know, it can be that whole issue of retirement and, oh my gosh, what am I going to do when I retire? All of those issues can come to the fore of that one, and also money, you know, what's going to happen when I transition out of this
mm-hmm.
role. So,
I've also seen that same thing happen in a very beautiful way. In an almost seamless way, because the people who were leaving, who were, you know, on their way out, didn't have this monstrous, destructive, toxic ego, or this fantasy that they were going to live forever, or the delusion that the only way that things can be done is the way I do them. And when I've known those people, and I see their faces right now, and I see their businesses continuing without a hiccup from one to the other, and the transition is beautiful when you've got that kind of honesty and that kind of character.
Mm. It's amazing how different it can be. I remember sitting with one son in a fairly large business years ago, and he was in his late 40s, and he looked at me and he said, "I have no identity of my own, David."
Yeah.
His father was such a large ego.
Yeah.
And insisted still at his age on making every decision and not giving his son any room to grow.
Right, right.
And as you said, I've seen the opposite where parents or leaders are giving the next generation of leaders or their children just every, you know, growth experience, every
yeah.
opportunity to make their own mistakes, really, is what it comes down to.
So how do we minimize the first thing that you mentioned just now, the first scenario
mm-hmm.
that we've been talking about? How do we minimize that and maximize the second scenario, the happy scenario?
Well, I think we have to be a little realistic, Jim. There are different people involved. There are some people where the transition is just going to be difficult.
Do you run into that? Do you see that? I mean, I can see those guys' faces too. I mean, I know who they are. Some of them are not even with us anymore, but I can still remember working with them. Do you walk into a business and in 30 minutes say, "Okay, this is the way this is going to go, and it's not going to be pretty"?
Well, my role is as a mediator. So oftentimes in those kind of situations where there are really difficult personalities involved, the father and the son or the mother and the daughter or the owner and the next generation of leader, they're in conflict already, and so they're looking for somebody to help them out of their conflict. So we go in with a slightly different approach and talk to all of the parties, and both together and separately, and go from that route. And then just we're there to really help them have conversations that they can't have by themselves.
Doesn't it almost always, not always, but doesn't the vast majority of the time come down to one person just can't get beyond something?
It does. They can't get beyond it by themselves or in their situation, and they, in those cases, they often need outside help. They need outside assistance in order to have the conversations, in order to open up their thinking to what they could be doing or how they could be handling the situation.
And isn't one of the biggest problems that we have with especially family situations and even employee transition situations where the employees are the most likely heirs apparent, mm-hmm. isn't that we just kind of let things go? We don't bring it up when we should have brought it up a lot earlier, and we should have said, look, you know, we need to get this resolved. We need to, before I'm going to continue to make this my career, Dad, or hey, boss, if you know, you already admitted that we're the heir apparent. What do you want to do about this? Let's get this resolved. Let's get something on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Before it's too late, and you know you're dead, and I'm too old to fight with your kids or whatever. What do you think?
So there is an aura that develops around conversations that should have happened yesterday or last month or last year, and they become larger than life, right?
Right.
They become, you know, the conversation that can't be had, and it creates this other issue, which is not just the problem, but we're not talking about the problem, so then it becomes we can't talk about the problem.
Right.
And then other people are talking about the problem, but not the people who really should be talking.
Right, right. Well, and a lot of times the owner will pay the other people pretty well, and so it's not like they've got a bad deal.
Right.
You know, it's that, but still... It's one of the most difficult things in the world to do is to get any business owner, and I mean even reasonable ones, David, and I know you've seen this, I've seen this, and to some degree I'm probably like this myself, David. It's hard to get a business owner to talk about divesting or dilution.
Well, that is the big topic, and then
yeah,
there are a lot of smaller topics that are difficult.
Hold on to that thought. We're gonna get over into the weeds a little bit and see if we can come up with some specific examples with David Gage after these messages. His book is called The Partnership Charter, and it's a good one. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. We built it so you could do that, so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Don't forget to check out our blog while you're there. I update that every week, every day, basically, sometimes more than once. And of course, my newsletter is there. You can subscribe to that while you're there. I hope you'll do that. And all the other things that are there that we've been building and categorizing and making available in the search engine there for you for over 12 years now. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I'm on Twitter, too, at Jim Blassingame, if you want to see what we've got going on over there. David Gage is our guest, our good friend, the author of The Partnership Charter, and he's one of the guys who helps small businesses, family-owned businesses, partnerships, divest of themselves, of their ownership, and move them on to other people, or at least, if not do that right today, prepare them for when that might happen. David, tell us how we can find your book and how we can find you.
Well, the book is in major bookstores and also on Amazon, and I like to tell people, you know, if you want to read the reader reviews, they're very interesting, because people out there are saying, basically, I was looking for something on how to be partners and what we should talk about, and it's the only thing I found that really covers both the business and the personal.
I believe that, and that's the reason why I said earlier, folks, it's a good one, and you need to, if you have a family-owned business, you got family in the business with you, or if you're in the business with the founder, or if you're in a partnership, before you get started, if humanly possible, you need to be reading David's book and going over it with each other, because there's a lot of good information that will prevent you from having a lot of brain damage in the future. But and let's talk about that. What are some of the things, David, that we can do today? You know, let's say that we're years away from any kind of transition. What can we do today to make that eventuality work a lot better?
Well, obviously, Jim, the biggest thing is just to have some conversation about it and to begin to sit down and begin thinking about, let's talk. And, you know, we're not going to figure out what's going to happen 3 or 5 years from now. We're just going to have a conversation about what could happen, establish the fact that we want it to go well, and be thinking about it. That is such a major, if people just take that one step, that will feel so good and be so effective, actually.
Right. Well, of course, talking about it's one thing, but I've also seen the cases where the founder or the person who was the problem was pretty good at talking about it, but they just weren't very good at doing anything. What was it Elvis saying? A little less talk, a lot more action?
Right.
So what about the action?
Well, so there, I mean, people want to begin the planning, and I think usually people in business are, well, some, not all. We're working with a business now where one of the partners just hates the word planning.
Mm-hmm.
Hates the word planning. He is a doer, and he likes to have his nose right down in the business and doing the, really, mostly the minutia. So he really hates the planning. Well, when one person is that way, that can create a big problem.
But it's hard to imagine sometimes that people wouldn't be willing to sit still for a moment to just create the document. I don't know if it's in that case. I'm not sure so sure they just can't stand planning as much as it is they can't stand the idea of not doing what they're doing. They love what they do so much. What do you think?
That may well be. I think, you know, another part of the problem is that there will be some aspects. People anticipate that there will be some difficult conversations. And one of the things I tell people is there's a great book out there called Difficult Conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps people to see that when there is a difficult conversation, when people are avoiding a subject, there really is a different way to think about it and to recognize. For example, they talk about the three structures of all conversations. You know, there's that basic surface level of we get into he said, she said, and some people get lost there forever.
Would you ever say to them, okay, I understand that you are reluctant to have the conversation about how to produce these documents and imagining, you know, the challenges of the future, but if you don't do this now,
right,
this little conflict that you're trying to avoid right here is going to look like nothing compared to that.
Right.
I mean, but you know, you'd think that reasoning would help, but it doesn't always do it, does it?
Exactly. Sometimes.
So how do you solve that?
You know, it's part of it is guiding people through these conversations. Sometimes people are very fearful that their feelings are really going to come out. I mean, they're really just going to come right smack out. They're going to get
You mean
angry.
They're holding back something that they really would rather not talk about, and
well,
and they're afraid that when the truth comes out, it could bring the whole thing down right now?
Well, there's that, Jim. There's that fear. And then there's also just the fear of losing control and getting so angry in a conversation that they can't think, that they're going to say very nasty things, because that some people will do that.
And some people just don't like signing a document, do they?
No. No, because some people are afraid of the finality of it.
But the bottom line, I think, David, as we wrap up our visit, it seems to me, is that when you have a situation that you can't resolve, you need somebody to help you sort these things out, don't you, David?
I think that frequently a third party in there guiding people through these conversations and the feelings can be very helpful.
And you need a professional, folks. Get somebody who knows what they're doing, not just Aunt Meanie or the neighbor next door. Get somebody who knows what they're doing. David, thanks for being here. Good job today.
You're so welcome. I appreciate it.
David Gage, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too. After these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.